All right, welcome back in. Mornings with Sharp and Hanley. And Jimmy here as well on 1620 The Zone, TV, everywhere else you can get us. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday as we welcome in our good friend from KETV, Andy Kendi. Good morning.
Morning, boys. What's happening?
Well, do you have any experiences in Kearney? You know, you've been here for a while. Have you spent much time out in Kearney that was not work-related?
Not a whole lot. I had a couple volleyball tournaments. Oh my goodness, we got dogs barking left and right, cats and dogs.
Good Ghostbusters
it's
reference.
Unbelievable. I've had some experiences in Kearney, just from volleyball related for my daughter, but they've been mostly pleasant. I mean, the results weren't pleasant for volleyball, but everything else is pretty pleasant.
You go out there for a weekend and. Your daughter and her teammates stay in the hotel, and you and the wife and the other parents go out. You've ever had something like that?
It's a limited basis. In the free breakfast area where there's no breakfast, that old deal.
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about? Having a bunch of pizza boxes and guys telling war stories. Limited basis.
Yeah. So we won't. At another time, we'll talk about the playpen and other things in.
We haven't gone that deep.
Okay.
I got a question for you because, you're a guy that likes to get out, and some of us like chain restaurants. So yesterday, the NFL announced a partnership with Applebee's as the official grill and bar of the NFL. What do you think the chances are that Roger Goodell and the rest of his co-workers there in New York City have ever been to an Applebee's?
I'm guessing that's about 10 to 1, if that. That's actually generous. Probably 50 to 1. This is something you may not know. I'm a former Chili's employee. I would have gave you sizzle service back in the day. So us and Applebee's were like Yankees and Red Sox.
Yeah.
So we didn't get along with those Applebee's employees on service nights at the local watering hole. So the fact that Applebee's has elbowed out Chili's as the official restaurant or whatever for the NFL, it kind of hurts my heart because I gave you my sizzle service back in the day. I even went so far as to open multiple Chili's restaurants around the Great Midwest.
Really?
Oh, wow. Yeah. How old are we talking here?
We're talking early 90s. So I opened, if you ever been to the Applebee's in Keystone right outside Indianapolis, I opened that one. I opened the Chili's. I opened the Chili's in Appleton, Wisconsin, which is right down the road from Green Bay. And I opened the Chili's in Springfield, Illinois, the capital of the land of Lincoln.
Dang. Whoa, yeah. Andy. And you know what? You're gonna realize we're Team Chili's here because of the triple dipper, but I'm a little disappointed. Do you think they're not aggressive enough? They didn't go all in. They're like, Applebee's, you can have it. Like, where's Chili's bargaining power here?
Well, that's a good question, and I'm actually disappointed at their lack of stick-to-itiveness in the negotiations.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing: when I got out of college, as you know, the television landscape, media landscape as a whole, has changed dramatically in the last 30 years. So back in the day when I graduated college, we had 3 affiliates in each local market. So think about that. There's like maybe 600 stations in the country and maybe a couple sports person people in each market. So I gave myself 5 years to get a job. And in the interim, I did just about everything to make ends meet. One of the things I did, my full-time gig, was a Chili's server, bartender, and then eventually corporate trainer. How about that? And in year three, I got my first gig in which I had to take a drastic pay cut to be the part-time sports person at the local ABC affiliate in Madison, Wisconsin. I mean, when we're talking pay cut, drastic pay cut, drastic.
So you're saying, well, I think we know the media world, but Chili's didn't pay too shabby. Where would you be if you stuck with the Chili's company? Would you be part of the ownership?
The Chili's would be the official restaurant of the NFL. I'm telling you that.
Damn right.
Okay? That's what I'm talking about. So, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is. What a great story. What a great little factoid.
So, like, when you go to Chili's now, do you, like...
Oh, my God.
You, like, put the servers and all of that under your watch?
No, so, my kids, at some point of the meal will mention either to me or the server, hey, did you know that my dad used to work at Chili's? Hey, did you know my dad is up on the wall at the Chili's in Madison? Hey, did you know? Like, they'll go all in.
So they're proud.
All in.
Yeah. Oh, they're proud of you.
Very, very, very proud.
They don't mention the broadcasting awards that you've won. They mention the fact that you opened up some Chili's.
Care less about that stuff. and you know, you guys know the restaurant biz. And back in the day, the service industry, we got paid $2 an hour, and you had to claim your tips. As long as you claimed what you were tipped out, wink, wink, you would be fine with the IRS. So, getting paid in cash, fresh out of college, you had money. It was a good time back then.
All right. Now I'm like, this is awesome. Let's talk about what you saw yesterday. So I know it's practice, and the quarterbacks threw a little bit more with people putting eyeballs on them, but it is what it is. When you have watched practice this spring, are there more like dudes, guys that look the part than you've seen in a while?
I would say absolutely yes. And it's not just at one position, too, which is reassuring. You know, you can look to the defensive line. Obviously, they have dudes in Hutmaker and Ty Robinson and those guys. Oh, my goodness, do they look the part. You know, defensive backfield, they've got dudes who look the part. But now I'm starting to see dudes that are wide receivers. You know, like Banks and Nayor, those guys look like dudes. Now, will that translate on Saturdays and fall? Maybe, hopefully. For Husker fans, but right now they certainly look the part. They're big. You know, it's been a while since they Nebraska's had a big-bodied wide receiver like Jamal Banks, who can go across the middle and catch passes in tough traffic. Or they've had burners in the past, but I think the physical specimens that Banks and Nayor bring to the table is something that they have lacked. And that and spill it over even Malachi Coleman. And I know he's wearing a green shirt this spring, but Garrett McGuire said yesterday he's playing with an edge, a little chippiness to him, which lends to his physicality. So I think there's going to be a good blend in that receiving core with guys who can get the job done. Tight ends look awesome. I think that's a position that doesn't get as much attention this spring because there's not a lot of new pieces there. But that room is chock full of talent. And, even on the offensive line, it's good to see them building depth because, as we know, there's going to be attrition during the year. And I've been impressed with what I've seen. And this is – I've been to all three, media window availabilities. And I've been impressed with the activity, the organization. They look like a team that has jumped leaps and bounds from last year. Last year, they're just trying to figure out the roadmap. This year, they're traveling at a high rate of speed, which is good.
I know you've seen both of these guys at the high school level. You've seen them in person. But between Dylan Riley and Danny Kalen, watching them now operate within the Nebraska offense, throwing to their receivers, and in the limited time that you've had a chance to watch them, have they looked different than what you remember? Did they exceed expectations? Again, just in the brief period that you've been able to watch them, what's been your takeaways?
Well, my takeaway is that this is going to be a competition. And I'm not so sure I thought that going in. And I do think that, there's no questioning that Dylan Raiola's talent. I mean, the guy oozes talent. He throws so effortlessly. He just acts the part. And no question. But what has opened my eyes is Danny Kalen's ability to grasp the system, again, in the very limited windows in which we've been able to witness, and make the throws that he's supposed to make. And, I'll go back a week ago or whenever the second availability was, he dropped three dimes that were just spot on and in places that only his receivers could catch. And that's with the media and all these eyeballs watching. And I was like, huh, all right. Okay. We got a competition. And, for Heinrich Harburg, who doesn't get talked about a lot, his game is improving. And, we're talking about guys who are making improvement with their, strength and conditioning and what have you. He looks like he's had a good full year in the system in terms of building up his body. He looks even more sturdy than ever. So, you know, whether he can get make a run at this starting job as well. I think right now he would be the guy right now because it's April and he's the only guy with experience. But I think to answer your question, the thing that's opened my eyes is this is more of a competitive process than I would have thought going into spring practice.
Why do you think it is a healthy ecosystem for quarterbacks right now? That two guys are competing, but they all appear to be good teammates as well.
That's a good question. I think some of it has to do with relationship building. You know, Harburg has known Kalen for years, and, you know, Kalen has known Raiola through the recruiting process as well. And I do think these guys genuinely like each other and pull for each other. Obviously, they want to have the job and to win, and they want to be the guy. But I think it's a healthy, competitive quarterback's room. And that cannot always be said in college football or any level of football, really, because these guys are just wired differently because they're so competitive. So will that continue when we get closer to game time? We'll see. But right now, it's actually not just the quarterback room, but I think all throughout team-wide. You know, I was struck by what Matt Rhule said yesterday about the portal. Mm-hmm. He was like, if we worry about the portal and catering to guys so they don't enter the portal, we probably have the wrong guys. And that kind of opened my eyes. You know, like, God, that makes a ton of sense. And that's the reason why Matt Rhule doesn't seem fazed by this, you know, portal season starting once again. And I was impressed with that yesterday.
What do you anticipate to see in the spring game based on what Matt Rhule said yesterday, talking about a lot of the veterans that are not going to scrimmage at all and what that even might look like next Saturday? I know he didn't officially rule out those guys for next Saturday, but overall, just given the veterans that have had over 1,000 reps, as he talked about, what do you anticipate this spring game looking like compared to maybe the ones we've seen over the past few years?
Ooh, good question. You know, my crystal ball says, you know, the big boys will be sitting out, and the big boys being Hutmaker and Ty Robinson, those guys are slam dunks. And I'll be interested to see, well, okay, let me rephrase. If they play, they won't play a ton, okay? Because there's just no need, right? No, we know what these guys can do. What I look, and I don't think they're going to show much of their hand schematically because I just think that it's just not necessary. But you know, I think what they want to get some good looks at running back. I want to see they want to see what they have in that position, even though they do have guys down already going into that spring game. And I think they want to see what's in front of them in the offensive defensive line and at linebacker. And I think those are some of the things to keep an eye on. Some of the basic things in basic formation to see what guys can stand up and make plays when the lights are on. Because, you know, I heard that they've sold over 50,000 tickets right now. I'm guessing the crowd would be about 60-ish, depending on weather. And, you know, that's going to be an eye-opening experience for, what, almost two dozen newcomers that just enrolled at mid-year. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle that situation.
Hey, let me ask you an inside baseball thing, because we didn't have you on last week, and it was off of the Women's Championship, which on ABC did monster numbers. And there was a lot of debate about, well, what's the best time on a Sunday to have an event? Was it between the 2 and 4 window central time, or would it have done even better in prime time? And I always use the example, because I asked you one time, and you said, hey, Sunday nights, there's a reason why us at KTV, the A crew is in and we do an hour because that is the most watched. If you are doing either a FBS or FCS championship game and it's on ABC/ESPN, or any big event, what day and what time of the day are you slotting that in to get the most eyeballs on it?
Well, I'm not doing it in the afternoon, that's for one thing. And that's the great debate, too, about, hey, the women outdrew the men's tournament, and the men's defenders will say, well, wait, hold on, the men's were on TBS, what have you, that's on cable, the women were on ABC. And I fight back and say, listen, the women were in the afternoon on a Sunday when people have all this stuff going on in their lives and still drew that number. And, you know, ideally you put a game or anything you want eyeballs on in prime time. You know, Sunday night is one of the more watched nights of the week. You want to stay away from Friday, Saturday nights in terms of getting huge numbers. And then, you know, Sunday, Monday nights would be perfect. And that's why you have the eyeballs you do. And that's why the Super Bowl starts at, you know, 5 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think moving forward, you know, it's weird because ABC doesn't like to touch world news. And that's at 5 o'clock on Sundays. So it's either before world news or after world news, where it's funny because CBS, they don't have a problem pushing 60 minutes down the road, you know? And I talked to my buddies, like Kevin Seuss in Lincoln, and he's a CBS affiliate. They're on late all the time because stuff goes over, 60 minutes gets pushed back, and primetime gets pushed back. That's a real inside baseball thing, but if it's me, I put it in primetime, and that's what you're going to see moving forward. You know, I think I just saw that the FBS championship game is now going to be in primetime. So, just, you know, it's just the way of the world. That's why you don't see World Series games on in the afternoon anymore like we did when we were kids, because the eyeballs are at night. That's, people are coming home from work and they want to watch a game, and that's why they do what they do.
Real quickly, we talked about this earlier. Obviously, this was the big event going on last night, Nebraska-Creighton. If you take away last night's result, and I know that's kind of hard to do because that's where the conversation is today, going into last night, in your opinion, who looks more like an NCAA tournament team that could actually make some noise in a regional?
Well, you know, if you ask me for the first six innings, I'd say Nebraska. Nebraska's got to figure out their bullpen, man. And Gary, I'm on your train. You brought this up a couple times last week. Yeah, their bullpen, they've got some issues there, and they got to figure it out to get some guys that you can just hand the ball to and not think about. They've had that in years past. They haven't had that this year for whatever reason. It's cost them. You know, Creighton, they really get up for Nebraska. Now, can they carry that over into the Big East? Right. You know, that's the thing. They look awesome against the in-state teams, but can they keep it going? Can they go to Xavier and not stub their toe? Or can they, you know, play a Butler and not stub their toe? That's the thing. So right now, I think both teams are tournament worthy. Can they make runs? That's a question that will be answered. You know, right now I would say Creighton is probably the more tournament ready, just based on the sample size that we've seen so far. But, you know, guys, everything, a lot can change here down the stretch. Guys get hot and what have you. But last night was something else. That was something that, you know, it seems like this series, it has lacked a little juice in the last few years, but man, it's really picked up in the last 2 years, 3 years or so. Last night was something else to see. With all the conditions, and I was startled to see A, how quick the game was going.
I know.
And B, how little offense was happening until the last inning. And you know, like, you knew all hell was gonna break loose at some point, and we certainly saw it. That was fun to watch.
Somebody wants to know, are you one of those servers at Chili's that always warns the people that the sizzling fajita tray is hot and then they go ahead and touch it because they don't believe you?
Yes. Yes, you have to. Sizzle service, chicks on red. So you'd have to call out to the back of the house where you wanted your fajita on a little skillet, and then they put it on the wooden plate underneath, and you'd have to bring it out with a little hot pad on the little skillet thing, and you have to say, listen, this is really hot. Can you hear the shh? Yeah, don't touch it. And everybody invariably would touch it. So you're almost better off not even warning them, but you have to warn them. Yeah, it's all part of the deal.
That's fantastic.
I got chili stories from here until next weekend if you guys ever want to sit around and have a margarita. Those margarita machines are a pain in the ass.
It's kind of like that ice cream machine at McDonald's.
That's right. That's why it's always not working late at night.
Have a great week. Thank you. I enjoyed this.
Thanks, boys. Thanks, boys. Have a good week.
That's a sizzling server from Chili's,
wow.
Andy Kendi, who knows a little bit about sports, dabbles in a little TV.
And has opened up three Chili's restaurants, if you're doing the math. That was impressive. Yeah, see, we need more people that are on Team Chili's, because I feel like Applebee's is now going to be, even if you don't really go to either one of them, you're going to bandwagon with Applebee's because now they've got the NFL shield behind them.
No, I'll always be Team Chili's.
Yeah, Chili's is better. Applebee's has nothing that even compares to the Triple Dipper.
There's no chance Roger Goodell has been to an Applebee's.
Nope.
No chance.
That's about as much chance he's been.
They're not living good in the neighborhood.
Now, somebody may have to find a job at Applebee's or Chili's. His name is Reggie Miller. He said something last night that I can't get out of my head. We'll let you hear it next on 1620 The Zone.